Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, and you're not invited to join us. You are invited to join us. It was almost out of habit that I almost gave out the number and all of that stuff again, but you are invited to join us, but you got to be here to hang out with us at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. We're here. Today is the last day of Pork Fest, but tomorrow begins the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Indeed.
Which is a bigger and more attended event, and people are steadily... Oh, here come the porta potties now.
Oh, the big truck trailer filled with porta potties.
Now, obviously, there's close to like 3,000 people coming to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and the bathrooms at Rogers Campground just aren't sufficient for that amount of volume. So they have to bring in others. I'm curious to see if they finished filling up the pool yet.
Yeah, I noticed that there's two pools. There's like a kiddie pool
and a regular pool. Yeah.
And only the smaller one has any fluid in it.
Is there a hot tub?
There is a hot tub.
I was not aware. But I would be surprised if they're going to bother just because it's so chilly this year. You'd have to be certified insane to go swimming in this.
See, that's why they need to get the hot tub up.
The hot tub,
The hot tub.
But I don't see even the wildest of children being willing to swim in this. You could die of hypothermia swimming in this.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were talking about the SEC chair, Gary Gensler. I want to talk about this story because it's hilarious to me. I wish I could use cryptocurrency. I wish I could acquire cryptocurrency because I would love to acquire Gensler coin or whatever it is that they're calling it. SEC chair Gary Gensler, of course, has united cryptocurrency through the hatred of a common enemy, as these things tend to go. Right, we hate Gary. I don't hate Gary Gensler, but I wish he would like screw off because he's doing everything in his power, as far as I can tell, to destroy cryptocurrency.
He needs to get a real job, is what he needs to do.
And he's doing a very good job of destroying cryptocurrency. Now, a meme coin is rubbing salt in the wounds. I really doubt that he cares about this. This is from Blockworks, and you know they're going to post it. They're going to write about it in this ultra crypto friendly way. But I sincerely doubt that Gensler knows or cares about this meme coin.
I don't know about destroying cryptocurrency. He's certainly tarnishing the public's view of cryptocurrency.
Well,
he is.
He's also working to put people in prison for using it, though, isn't he?
I know the FBI is and FinCEN is, but I don't think the SEC is a regulatory body. I think they just fine people, but and gut them and put them out of business like they did.
Either way, it's a ridiculous alphabet organization. Needs to go away.
It is. So good. Gensler is the coin. GENSLR is its ticker symbol. It's more than doubled over the past month to outperform practically the entire crypto market. And it's easy to see why. I would love to acquire some Gensler if I could. Just to give Gensler the middle finger. And I don't know in what way that's giving him the finger, but my gut tells me it is.
I was going to say, like, here's what I don't like about Gensler coin. That I have to say his name.
Gensler.
And it gives, like, just even the name, though, gives him more attention. Everybody's saying it gives him more attention. Mm. And I think that's counterproductive.
Then again, sunlight is the best disinfectant, and maybe giving him attention is not a bad plan in terms of paying attention to what he's doing. And
that's a solid
the
point.
Evil of what he's doing.
That's a solid point.
Well, even congressional officials have called this guy up, but like, hey man, what are you doing? This isn't right. You got to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing.
Yeah, he's obviously a power mad psychopath on a quest.
But this is good Gensler, and that's very different from bad Gensler. Bad Gensler is head of the SEC. This is good Gensler, and it's more than doubled over the past month. As I said,
more than
$100 billion has been wiped from crypto's total market value over that time, melted by the SEC suing both Binance and Coinbase. which we all saw coming, and they're not going to stop.
Yeah.
Right. They've made it clear that they're going to target anything and everything as they sink their ravenous tendrils and claws into cryptocurrency.
Which only illustrates that government is not out to protect you. It's not out to make your life easier. It's not out to do you any favors, because what it's doing is it's preventing people who happen to live in the United States of America from engaging in new technology.
Yeah. Where were these guys when FTX was happening, right? When FTX was doing all this shady stuff with Alameda. You would think if the government is going...
They were staking out the Free Talk Live studios is
right
where they were.
True. Yeah, and that timing works out.
Yes.
But, like, if you think that the government exists and is going after cryptocurrency in order to protect the masses or whatever, why didn't they do anything about FTX? Why did FTX play all the way out until it exploded and collapsed of its own in court, on accord?
Yeah. Well, specifically, it collapsed because they showed their balance sheet to some other exchange in hopes of getting a loan, and the other exchange said, oh, my God.
That was Binance, wasn't it? Was it Binance, the other exchange?
It was an Oriental guy. I don't know his name. I think he was Chinese. He's one of the really big players in the field.
Binance is owned by a former Chinese guy.
Okay.
I don't remember his name.
A former Chinese guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to be Chinese for a while.
Well, he's
I started out at the bottom. I was born a poor black child.
Wasn't that a Devo
song? Then I heard my first Mantovani record and I said, these are my people.
Wasn't that
so
a Devo
song? I decided
to
become white.
I think I'm turning Japanese.
No.
Different than Chinese.
I think
but
that's a different band.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Devo covered it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
so Bitcoin and Ethereum both down. One down 5%, one down 9%. I don't find it particularly relevant when articles even mention cryptocurrency being up or down, because, one, they don't give any time frame. It's down from what? What it was a week ago?
Right.
It's up from what it was 3 years ago? You're not giving us a time frame with which we can actually assess these things fairly and accurately, and it's sort of meaningless to just say it's down. That doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, cryptocurrency goes up and down depending on your timeline. If you look at the graph of cryptocurrency, it's just a matter of how zoomed out you are, whether cryptocurrency is up or whether it's down.
Yeah.
But even worse, these 18 tokens that have been labeled securities in the SEC's recent lawsuits have collapsed between 11% and 41%, one of which is Dash, which we are promoting here on the show, obviously. We do that in exchange for 32 Dash per month by the decentralized autonomous organization that owns Dash. And the SEC listed Dash and several others. Gensler refuses to say which currencies and tokens are Ethereum tokens and which ones aren't. I mean, which ones are securities
right,
and which ones aren't.
Yeah.
He will say that Bitcoin isn't a security and Ethereum isn't a security, but he won't give us the metric that he's using to make those assessments.
And these government agencies disagree with even themselves on some of these definitions, and they won't get together and work to provide some sort of a definition to, well, everybody who wants to transact and build businesses around blockchain technology. So they're doing a disservice to everybody by losing what's known as the first mover advantage to everyone who resides in the United States of America, who's interested in doing this stuff or creating business. They have to go now outside of the U.S. They've made it a toxic environment for business here in the United States of America, losing the first mover advantage and doing a disservice to everyone listening and everyone that resides here in the United States of America.
And even if you leave the country to do your thing, they're going to expect you to pay taxes on the business that you had to leave the country to start because they wouldn't let you have it.
It's sickening what they're doing, and Gensler is on the record, or someone in the SEC is on the record, of saying that they don't want to provide clarity to the rules, because then people would know
they're
how
to
skirt
the rules. They're not there to regulate, they're there to obstruct.
Right.
Yes. But you would expect that they're going to have some sort of law that they're... I really wish that dude earlier had not untangled this dog, because now she just keeps going out into the street because she's got limitless rope to play with. Anyway, they refuse to provide direction. They refuse to say what you can do to be legal, because then, if you know how to be legal, then you also know how to be illegal, right? It tells you exactly what to do.
Right,
in
and
order
so
to...
and so for now, of course, since they've provided no definitions, they leave everyone who transacts at the mercy of them. They can at any point claim, oh, you did this one transaction, that's completely illegal, even though they provided no clarity, no definition, and no direction on how to proceed in a proper manner. So, again, another disservice.
Which should render the laws unenforceable because they are unconstitutionally vague.
Right. And also, keep in mind that none of these things that they're levying against these either cryptocurrency exchange or cryptocurrency traders, none of these things were written into law through the approved lawmaking process, right? That
right.
is going through Congress and getting, you know, all that kind of stuff. These were not put into law in that fashion.
No, they were just arbitrarily created by the SEC.
Yeah.
And all of this means that if the current market cycle wasn't 80s movies, crypto diehards would probably consider Gensler the love child of Biff Tannen and Hans Gruber. I don't know who that second one is.
Hans Gruber?
Yeah, who is that? What movie?
Alan Rickman.
What movie?
Die Hard?
Okay.
The
I haven't seen Die Hard since I was like five, maybe.
He was like the main bad guy in Die Hard.
I do know Biff.
I want to die.
Biff Tannen, absolutely a gross evil dude, and he seems accurate to Gary Gensler, a big dummy sitting in a crumbling ivory tower, hell bent on destroying crypto by refusing to apply anything but the ancient Howey test, which is the way they used to determine what was and wasn't a security. And I don't remember the specifics of the Howey test.
I've heard of this.
But he's not applying it. However, Good Gensler is an ERC-20 token that launched in April, and since the beginning of June, it's up about 111%. Not surprising at all. Once upon a time, in a parallel universe, there was a man named Good Gary. He came to defeat his evil Earthborn doppelganger, states the Meme Coin's portal page. And it doesn't give an actual link to where that page actually is. What sort of sloppy journalism is that, dude?
You know, welcome to 2023, I guess.
I guess, but man, you're writing about this cryptocurrency token. You're writing about this ERC-20 token, and you're quoting it, and you don't give a link to their actual website? That's sloppy. Hmm. Like all meme coins, and I'm torn on meme coins, right? I don't know how to feel about them. They both do good and bad things for cryptocurrency. Dogecoin, of course, the original meme coin, got trounced, as far as I could tell, by Shiba Inu, and I don't know. It's got its ups and it's got its downs. I guess it gets people into cryptocurrency, but it gets into them for reasons I don't necessarily approve of. Like, they want to make a profit off of buying Pepe coin or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Instead of getting into it because they care about it. But then I wouldn't be trying to make a profit if I were to acquire Good Gensler. I would be doing it to give the middle finger to Gensler, because in whatever weird way in my head, doing so is a middle finger to him. He hates crypto, so here's a cryptocurrency named ERC-20 token named after him. And I hate Ethereum, and I hate ERC-20 tokens.
Pretty much the same thing that the Federal Reserve did to Andrew Jackson.
Yes.
By putting him on the $20 bill, which is just the biggest... Oh, we're on regular radio, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Yes,
it's
we are.
Just the biggest screw you.
So, like all meme coins, there's obviously not much point to Gensler beyond jokes and the very peculiar brand of camaraderie that comes with holding a bag together with anonymous internet strangers. It's never going to do anything, it's never going to be anything, and it's probably never going to really make you any money, but it's funny, and I wish I could acquire some. This particular project mostly amounts to Gensler superhero memes, a Telegram group, and a crypto-positive manifesto. It's steeped in fantasy lore that describes a scenario in which a well-meaning Gensler travels between parallel universes to destroy our bad Gary Gensler once and for all. And I kind of like that. I wish I could use Telegram so I could read these stories. That sounds amusing, right? Like this narrative people are weaving about good Gary going out like Rick from Rick and Morty to defeat the evil Gensler that we have in our universe.
I wonder if evil Gary has a goatee like Spock did in Star Trek.
That would be the way to... Unfortunately, we can't change what evil Gary looks like. We can only change what good Gary looks like.
Yeah.
But if Gary doesn't have a goatee, then you should give good Gary a goatee.
Is that why South Park did that a number of years ago in their episode about this?
Yeah, because Spock grows a goatee. Right. Evil Spock has a goatee.
And evil Cartman was, even though he had a goatee, was really good Cartman because, well, Cartman, the regular Cartman, was the evil one.
Yeah, because it's Bizarro Cartman. Right. It's not evil Cartman.
He wasn't evil yet at that time. Well, that time he was just a jerk.
Universe Cartman.
It wasn't until Scott Tinerman that Cartman truly became evil.
Yeah, that's true.
So here's the story. Good Gary, that's Gensler, G-E-N-S-L-R, was the founder of the Intergalactic Crypto Defense League and a champion of crypto. When the ICDL headquarters received an urgent call that the Galactic Banksters and the FUD Spreader, that's Fear, Uncertainty, and Doubt, were planning to destroy the crypto universe with fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Thank goodness they clarified that right after I did. Good Gary knew he had to act fast. And that's all there is to this story. I like it. I wish they even included an actual screenshot of the webpage, but did not link to the actual webpage. That is absolutely disgusting on their part. So that's the story here. It's an ERC-20 token, so Ethereum.
No, I'm saying what platform is the article on?
Oh, Blockworks.co. Just some website I'd never heard of before. I just happened to read about this story. I was like, oh, that's funny. I want to talk about that on the show. And, you know, it's interesting. There are better ways, I think, of dealing with this. Right? But I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
Right? On the ground, activism in this note gets you landed in prison for 18 months.
So it seems.
Yeah. And the alternative is to write your congressman. And why would you waste time and energy doing that, right?
You're going to become pen pals.
If you're not a bank, your congressman doesn't care what you think.
No. Instead of doing that, may I offer the alternative of punching yourself in the crotch for 3 hours? It'll be more effective and only a little bit more painful. So tomorrow, we just had someone come up and ask us about Forkfest.party, and that was an interesting experience. I mean, we do have signs all over the campground. You can find them here and there, signs planted in people's yards. Someone replanted our signs, so thank you for that. As I mentioned earlier, someone untangled my dog's leash. It's not actually fixed to anything, right? For the most part, it just lays here on the ground, and she's usually good, so she doesn't wander beyond where she's allowed to wander. However, someone untangled it, so there was no tension whatsoever and no mental indicator of where she was and wasn't allowed to go.
Yep.
And she got tangled up in the signs and pulled them down earlier, and someone replanted them, so thanks so much for that. But anyway, we do have a Forkfest sign here in the ground. We have one hanging up as
big old
well.
Banner.
Well, we have a banner hanging up as well. We have also the sign there.
Yep.
And there's another one up there at the hill that I saw earlier when I was walking my dog. And it's so nice to see bumper stickers that are representative of Free Talk Live and Forkfest and things like that, right? It's nice to walk around and be reminded continually that these are our people and they support us and they love us.
Yeah, it is. There is a, we'll call it a hardcore group of Forkfest people who participate in the Forkfest every year, and who, you know, either arrive early or stay late depending on, you know, when the Forkfest was going to happen. It's you know, flipped a couple of times now.
We have some steel forks and we have some plastic forks.
Yeah. It's true.
That was sort of my concern with Forkfest happening after the Porcupine Freedom Festival last year and the previous year, is that, like, it seemed like it was mostly just, like, the Keene and Manchester libertarians hanging around, which is cool and fine, but I would like to see people from outside of the community that I see on a daily basis.
Well, and shout out to that guy, Will, who came up here specifically for Forkfest.
Yep.
And didn't, you know, couldn't stay for the Porcupine Freedom Festival after, you know, checking out Free Talk Live. So
there have been some of those throughout the years, and we don't always know when people are here just for Forkfest and when they're not.
Yeah, unless they announce it themselves and, you know, tell us that, oh, yeah, I'm only here for you guys and here for just this, right? But we don't know.
Right. You can look at the sticker and see how long they're here for, but that's only a general indication, and that's only on their vehicle. They don't walk around with a sticker saying how long they're going to be here. But it is a beautiful event. It's a beautiful time, and the Porcupine Freedom Festival begins tomorrow. I look forward to it. I haven't even looked on the schedule to see what all is happening this year, which I need to, because there's usually a few events that I want to check out. Someone speaking that I want to check out. Of course, there's so much controversy this year that it's going to be interesting to see what happens with, like, RFK Jr.
I've decided that I'm not going to that.
Yes, same.
I decided that a long time ago. I just don't know if I ever mentioned it on the show. So I'm mentioning it now. I'm not going to watch RFK.
What's the RFK Jr. thing?
He's going to give a speech. And
he's taking three pre-canned questions. Yes, like, you had to submit these questions in writing.
Oh, it's only three
in
questions?
Advance, and there's only three.
I didn't know that. Like, I knew that they were taking questions in advance, and somehow someone somewhere was going to decide which questions were going to get asked. So there will be no Q&A by the libertarians who go to see him after his speech. It canned questions in advance so that him and his writers, you know, his handlers can figure out how to answer them in advance. This is the wrong way to go about winning over Porkfest.
Is any other candidate sending us a message at all?
Yes. Vivek is going to be here. I've heard, I haven't checked, but I know once upon a time people were saying that Tulsi Gabbard was going to be here.
I heard yesterday that she canceled,
but
that's unofficial. I just heard it in a Telegram chat. I don't know if it's, you know,
I would
hearsay or not.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, same. Aaron Day is also, he was offered a spot, but he wanted like Saturday at noon or something like that. And like, dude, that's a tall order. Like, any spot on the Saturday, that's a big deal. That's the top tier speakers there. And you want noon on the Saturday? Like, I don't blame Dennis at all for saying, no, look, you can't have that spot.
That kind of feels like somebody's way of saying, no, I don't want to go there, right? Like, I only want to go there if I can get the best spot. And it's like, come on, you're full of yourself, pal.
Well, I would argue that the best spot typically goes to the rant competition that occurs late night on Saturday night, like on the peak night. Usually it's the last event. I would say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that's usually the top tier spot, and I think it's usually the best attended. But that's the spotlight on libertarians, right? Allowing libertarians to get up there and talk about libertarian things, and it's amazing. Absolutely love it. Of course, we've already talked about that, and I can talk about that endlessly.
Well, and I've said over and over again that if any candidate of, you know, any weight wants to learn about Porkfest, learn about libertarians, just come here.
Yes, yeah, but RFK won't do that.
Get a site. Come in with your security team. They're armed. We're armed, so who cares? Right?
RFK does.
Well, okay. So, like, that
that's
in and
of itself. That's how these career politicians are.
That in and of itself should be illustration enough for everyone to go, yeah, this guy is full of it. If he's not willing to meet us on our terms,
well, that's exactly
it. I care less about him.
And that's my problem with this, is libertarians thought, oh, look, we're being recognized by an official big-name candidate now. It's like, but we're not. But he should be bending his principles to compromise with us. Instead, we're bending ours to compromise with him. What does he have that we want? Nothing. Okay. He's a politician. He's got some empty promises.
He has followers.
He's
got
that, and he's got the ego boost from having a big-name politician speaking here that makes other libertarians cream themselves. Oh, guys, we're official. We're big now, and it's great. There's more coming out here from Porkfest, so stick around. We've got a catch coming. It is Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on three-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. USA News Update. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Beijing. He is the first top American diplomat to visit China in 5 years. Blinken is expected to meet with top officials, which is set to last through Monday. Former Vice President Mike Pence says there are other differences between him and former President Trump than just January 6th. Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, the GOP presidential hopeful says Trump's position on the national debt is the same as that of President Biden. An earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 6.3 has been recorded in the Gulf of California. It struck Sunday afternoon just off Mexico's Baja California, roughly 80 miles from Cabo San Lucas. Initial reports indicate there were no injuries or damage. The head coach of West Virginia men's basketball is resigning. Bob Huggins announced on Saturday he's leaving the school following a DUI arrest over the weekend. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
From the final day of Forkfest here at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. I don't have the list of amplifiers in front of me. If I was good at my job, I would have pulled that up during the break just now, which I could have done, but I didn't. But I do want to tell you about the Amps Premier. You can find that at amps.freetalklive.com. That's our Patreon. And that's the best way, one of the best ways to support the show. If you value the ideas of liberty, recently the Heavy 100 was released for 2023, and we fell a spot, believe it or not, from number 24. We are now only the 25th top radio show in the United States, so we lost a spot there, but we're hoping to reclimb back up, and I'm not really surprised. 2022 was an interesting year for talk radio, but if you want to support the show, amps.freetalklive.com is the best place to do it. And I don't remember why. There was some way in my head that the Heavy Talkers, the Heavy 100 was linked to the Amps program that I was going to get into. And I've already forgotten what it was as I was talking.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, no, in my head it was. There was some way to segue from one to the other. Okay. And I have no idea what that was. Anyway, amps.freetalklive.com.
Well, if you help us advertise, market, and promote, we may be able to climb that list more easily.
Yeah, it only takes $5 per month. That gets you in. You can donate more than that if you want, but $5 per month is all we ask. And you do get a number of amp-only perks. Ooh, I never did post that video. I'm going to have to do that. I have a video that I recorded with Bonnie and Nikki that is a reaction video to a voice voicemail that someone left me, and it's extremely humorous, and I meant to post that and never did, so I'm going to have to do that tonight. Anyway, that's amps.freetalklive.com. You can get that exclusively at amps.freetalklive.com. With you today is Aria and Rich. Captain had to step out previously, and we're joined by Corey Haig, who is the author of Liberty Uncensored, The Freedom Papers. Is that right? Welcome.
That's right. That is our newspaper that we started back in December, and so we're on our seventh issue now. I brought the fourth issue here to Porkfest because we had an article written about Porkfest here in the Freak State Project, and so
did
I thought
you
that
say
would be
Freak
appropriate.
State?
The Freak State, the Free State.
Oh, okay. I heard Freak State Project, which we have been called.
Well, that's applicable to some degrees as well, right?
Like, I'm a believer in letting your freak flag fly.
I'm pretty freaky.
I mean, we've got the Satanist flag flying behind us and the LGBT pride flag right there. It's starting to get freakier than that, right?
I love naming things, and of the things that I've at least helped name in New Hampshire, I think one of my favorite is the Reformed Church of Satan.
Yeah, well, it's the Reformed Satanic Church. The order actually is important because of the Satanic Church and the Church of Satan. Wait, maybe I'm wrong. I don't remember now. Anyway, the Satanic Temple is... That's what I'm thinking of. It doesn't matter. So, yes, we do have the Reformed Satanic Church here in New Hampshire, and I am the high priestess of that, and performed a wedding yesterday.
Nice.
In that capacity, and that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
So, anyway, we're joined now, as I mentioned, by the author of, or the owner of Liberty Uncensored. So, tell us more about this paper, and is it only print, or is there a digital version for people? How does this work exactly?
Sure. So, we do a online digital version that people can get for free at libertyuncensored.news. We also do distribution of free issues of the physical print to all the places where we have volunteers, you know, with access to the paper that do distribution in different areas across the country. Like I said, we started in December, so it hasn't been running for that long, but we have already reached many, many, many thousands of people with physical prints, with online version copies that we distribute with friends like Ernest Hancock. And Ernest always gets the first page, so you're always going to be able to read from Ernest Hancock in the,
okay,
in the newspaper.
Awesome.
And we have a lot of other heavy hitters in the freedom community that contribute to this. We've had David Rodriguez, we've had Kenny Pellerantano. A lot of people have been involved in the paper just for, you know, right from the start, sharing information that could assist in creating more liberty in this world or helping people find places where they might be more free, like New Hampshire and the Free State Project, but also so many other topics that we can use to enhance our lives, from health and well-being and wellness in general to, like David Rodriguez, offering a way for our children not to go to mandated, you know, psychopathic school systems, but rather to find their graduation through alternative means and still be, you know, able to access if they want to go to college or, you know, be able to use a degree for something, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I noticed that one of the contributing authors was Etienne de la... Ian always said his name, and I never did.
Etienne de la Boissie Square.
Yeah, that's it. He's not a fan of me in particular. He's not a fan of Ian either, but he's definitely not a fan of me. He considers me to be controlled opposition for being the satanic tranny that ruined liberty in New Hampshire. I don't know. I don't remember exactly how he characterized it, but he's not a fan. And if I'm controlled opposition, will someone tell the FBI that? Because they're putting me in prison in 8 days, and I would appreciate not having to do that.
Yeah.
But we are at the Free State Projects Festival. Well, not yet, but it will be going on tomorrow. And you do have an article here about the Free State. Where is Liberty Uncensored based out of?
So we are completely remote. Everybody that volunteers, whether they're editing, whether they're writing a piece, whether they're distributing, whatever part they play, everybody's volunteer, and we do everything remotely. We don't have an office. We have very little overhead. And so all the money that comes into this paper and into this project goes into spreading information to as many people as we can possibly reach. We don't have a base of operations anywhere.
So what sort of articles does your paper run? Is it just anything and everything related to liberty? Because I know Ernie Hancock, who you mentioned, I didn't know he wrote for the paper. He's always involved in a lot of projects, some of which I would say are a little bit zany, like the spaceship project. I can't remember what that was called, but you know,
SpaceX.
No, that was Elon Musk, a different crazy person. But you've got to dream big, right? And that's one of the things I love about Ernie, is that he puts no limitations whatsoever on his dreams. And magical things can happen when one does that. So, but what sort of things would Ernie write about when he writes for Liberty Uncensored?
So every month we do a primary topic, so every issue is topical to something. This issue that we have in front of us is all about community and how we can develop different types of communities to create more freedom in the world and what it even means to be a community. So we dive deep into each issue of the paper, something different. We've done, for Black History Month, we did Black History Revisionism, talking about how the story is being rewritten to fit the narrative that the controllers want it to look like and want it to be. We've done.
Well, I'm sure the fact that you even did a Black History, you know, paper offended a large number of the conservatarians.
I really hope that many people were offended, because I forget who said that quote, but it's I don't care whether they love me or hate me as long as they pay attention.
Fair enough.
And so as long as people are looking at it, they're getting a perspective that most likely they don't get anywhere else. And since we're delivering to the wide population, we don't discriminate between what type of person or what house we put the paper on. We put it on every single one, and we hope that a lot of people get inspiration from it.
Sure. I mean, a sell is a sell, right? It doesn't matter to you if they're going online to rant about it. They're bringing eyeballs to it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's
There's
one
an
of the
issue to that, though, which is if you take rhetoric, which is, you know, the original one of the three R's, it wasn't writing, it was rhetoric, and there's three things you need for convincing rhetoric, and those are logos, logic, pathos, feeling, and ethos. And ethos is basically to be perceived as a person of goodwill. So you don't want to damage your ethos, because once your ethos is damaged, what happens is, if you say a thing, your listeners are less likely to believe that thing. It's like when George Bush or Joe Biden or Donald Trump says something, and we're like, okay, we can cross that off the list of things that might be true.
Yeah, so we avoid that by everything that goes into the paper. So anybody anywhere can submit for the paper, and if it doesn't go in the paper, maybe we'll put it on the Substack, right? So, you know, we want to get people's voice out there for sure. And if you are writing something that is explicit, like if it doesn't have any basis in truth, or if there's nothing to back it up, one of the examples I say is, like, if you want to talk about the flat earth, you have to convince the editors of the paper at least that you have something to back it up. There's some place where the truth might exist there. If you can't
that seems
do that,
reasonable.
See, if you can't do
the
that,
is,
then there's no reason for us to put you in the paper, because then you're just talking the way you might talk to anybody anywhere without anything to back up what you're saying.
Right.
If you have something to back it up, if you're going to cite scientific studies, if you're going to really put forward a strong argument, then we'll put it in there. But if you're going to talk about flat earth, we're probably going to put in something about round earth in the same paper. But we don't really do that. We don't really do that so much. So we've talked about, like, anarchism. We did a paper on anarchism. We did a paper on agorism. We did Black History Revision. You know, we try to keep it topical in places where...
Are you doing a Pride Month article Pride Month episode?
No, at least not this year. And we're just getting started, so, like, maybe next year we'll do that.
Okay.
But what we're doing right now, the coming up issues, so the last one that we did was Unsung Heroes, and in that one we heavily focused on our friend Johnny Hurley, who was shot by a cop in Arvada, Colorado.
That happened during a Porcupine Freedom Festival, I think 2 years ago.
Yep, and he was a friend of many of us who actually work on the paper. And
That's incorrect. It happened during, concurrently with the Porcupine Freedom Festival happening, is what I meant. Sorry.
And so, like, people like Johnny, who was shot in the back after he killed a mass murderer, he was shot in the back by a cop. who watched the whole thing for 11 seconds before he shot Johnny.
Yes, he showed up reporting to a shooting, and he shot the guy who took out the killer, right?
So, yep, and then he got a paid vacation, and then he moved out of state. So there's not really much going to happen to that guy. But so for unsung heroes, people that have done amazing things, that was our last issue. And then our coming up issue that's going to come out soon. Actually, I'm not going to say what it is. You're going to have to find out. But we always keep it topical, and we try to talk about things that are relevant to kind of the time that we're putting out the paper, too. So when we get to September, what are we going to talk about? Obviously, we're going to be talking about 9/11. We're going to have Richard Gage. We're going to have a bunch of information about that. But also, we're going to expand that into the concept of what is a false flag? How has government interfered with the peaceful general population throughout history, you know, a lot of different stuff around that. So we try to cover a lot of topics around our main topic as well.
Now, I really like Breaking Points and The Hill, and I remember them both reporting that two of the 9/11 terrorists were CIA assets. And that this was
only two.
Well, they found evidence for two. And you don't have to know you're a CIA asset to be a CIA asset. If you're working for a guy who's a CIA asset, you're a CIA asset, but you don't know it.
Fair enough.
So.
The one that always gets me about September 11th is how they found the passport of one or two of the hijackers in the rubble after 9/11. This fire that was hot enough to melt steel beams, as they say, and that destroyed multiple Rolls-Royce solid steel jet engines left a paper and plastic card passport. Just fine. Yep. Readable.
Yeah. Well, and then I lost a lot of money on that because I invested in a company that was recycling Saudi Arabian Park passports into brake shoes because they have to have really high heat resistance. And,
the company
went broke because they could not reproduce those results.
That's tragic.
You know.
Well, you know,
I want to start a scientific journal whose slogan is often imitated, never reproduced.
Well, you know, the elephant in the room when talking about 9/11 is always World Trade Center 7, right?
Right.
So a building
the one that people forget about.
Right.
Everybody
thinks that planes hit two buildings in New York City, but the thing is that there was three buildings that fell, no plane touched it, and it had an office fire, which never took down a steel structure, high-rise building in history. All of a sudden came down at the exact same moment that the two Twin Towers came down.
Right, after the owner of the building said something, recorded as saying, you know, there's been such a huge loss of life today, maybe we should just pull it, which in demolition terms means demolish it.
Yep.
And then shortly after that, minutes after that, the building was demolished.
Yep.
And since it turned out to be considered two separate terrorist attacks, the owner of the World Trade Center, he got his insurance to pay out twice.
And the FEMA report of September 11th, and as well as the 9/11 Commission report, both of them completely omit any mention whatsoever of Building 7. And that's why when you go online, people are like, oh, remember the two towers? And you're like, hey, no. Two planes hit, and three buildings went down. I'm like, what? There wasn't three buildings. They're looking like, I guess there was three buildings. What? Maybe the government's lying to me. You think? Like, even physicists, I think his name was Stephen Jones, who Brigham Young, a university, came out and look, physics doesn't lie, right? If there's no way for jet fuel to melt hot enough to melt steel, then it didn't happen. Like, even under the best laboratory conditions, they can't raise it to that temperature, then that's definitively not what happened. That doesn't mean that there was controlled demolition, certainly not. It doesn't mean any of these other things. It could be that there was a high amount of, I want to say it was iron oxide in the, or no, iron oxide was the leftover from thermite. They created some scenario in which the paint that they used could chemically become thermite during an ignition or collapse. I don't remember exactly what it was, but
actually,
they presented
it's impossible because they use nanothermite. So nanothermite has to be built from the atomic level up. You can't do it the reverse. So there's not something that will decompose into those reddish gray powder materials they found. It wouldn't decompose into that. You actually have to build it the opposite direction. So
now,
it's actually impossible.
Thermite, as I understand it, and tell me if I'm right about this, because it sounds like you've got some scientific... my understanding is that ordinary thermite is basically aluminum filings burnt in the presence of iron filings.
Aluminum filings burnt in the presence
with
of iron filings.
Generally a magnesium strip. That's that I think is what we did in high school chemistry for thermite. I know we did thermite. I'm pretty sure that's
in high school. Your high school was hardcore.
I went to a military academy.
Okay.
So
ours didn't let us near anything fun. Like they wouldn't even let us have like bleach, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm older than you are.
Yeah, no doubt.
And your generation got completely screwed on education.
In many ways.
We did it to you, and fought it as much as I could. Sorry about that on behalf of my generation. We destroyed the schools. Well, we let the boomers destroy the schools.
Boomers are going
to
boomer, right? I mean,
boomers are going to boom.
Yeah,
there's nothing you can do about that.
No.
I don't know about the filings, but you definitely have to use magnesium because magnesium's the only thing hot enough to actually ignite the final material. So I mean, however else you're going to get to it, you have to use the magnesium. But in the end, I mean, what we're talking about is how that material could have been produced in the first place, and it wouldn't have been produced by any decomposition of any kind of material. They would have had to go the opposite way with it. So they built nanothermite.
And that's not how you do it. You get refined aluminum, and you get refined iron, and you're combining them. You're not separate. You don't have to separate. You don't have to combine chemicals with chemicals from which they were previously separated. You can just, buy them both at a chemical store and mix them up at home.
Yeah, but after you use it, the decomposition process, you're not going to have leftover material that it represents nanothermite because you have to build that from the ground. It's not like regular thermite. And so because we found that, it proves that they used explosive material inside of the building. You're not going to find nanothermite on a friggin' jet plane.
Well, I want to move away from 9/11 here because I think it's safe to say that none of us believe the government line. And
my position. I have no opinion on what did happen.
That's exactly my position.
Except that it's not what the government says.
Right. I don't know what happened that day, but whatever the government said about it is definitely not what actually happened. So what else do you have planned for Liberty Uncensored? You mentioned the possibility of, the a Pride episode next year. I'm not really a huge LGBT Pride kind of person, but I like frustrating conservatives. I like making them feel like, oh God, we've lost control of the liberty movement that we never had control of in the first place because libertarians aren't conservatives, and I love reminding them of that. But that's the only reason I have the LGBT flag right there is because to give the middle finger to the conservatives, especially now when the conservatarians are really on the rise and pushing and trying to make society more and more conservative. And you mentioned September 11th being an 9/11 being the focus of a September issue. Do you have any other plans for this specific? And how is it? Do you just hope that there's coincidentally enough people writing about September 11th, which I imagine from libertarians is really easy every September. There's probably hundreds of libertarians producing articles about 9/11. But on other subjects, do you have to like put out some sort of mailer asking for articles about this topic or that topic?
So I after over 10 years in the community of freedom and truth movements and going to events, I've met thousands of people. And so basically I reach out personally or I go through the other editors and writers and stuff, and we look for people who are interested in writing for the paper. But we also put out shortly before so we're always a month ahead. And so before we start putting the paper together, we reach out to community in various ways, different Telegram channels in certain places, and we say, does anybody want to write for the paper? But then also it's open to the public, so if you want to write for the paper, you can send a document to us, and we can find a place for it. If you're trying to find out what the next issue is going to be, the best thing would get on our Telegram chat, I think that's just Liberty Uncensored on Telegram. You can find it that way. We put out all the information on there. So if you want to write for the paper consistently, I mean, get on the Telegram chat and you'll find all the right information that you need.
I love projects like this. One of the earliest things I did in the Liberty community was write for a collection called V2, The Voluntary Voice, which was just a collection of a bunch of libertarians that I had never even heard of, obviously, writing about topics that I had never read about. And it was that was the first time I heard of the term anarcho-capitalist. And I thought it was just completely nonsense. Like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. So I sat down one day to write about why it was the dumbest idea I'd ever heard. And like two paragraphs in, I realized that I had to be an anarcho-capitalist because nothing else was actually consistent. And I would never have come to that realization. I probably would have at some point, but I came to that realization perhaps more readily and more quickly than I would have without the existence of this compilation of libertarian writers. So I love it when things like that happen. And I would never have bought this book if I hadn't been one of the people who contributed to it. I didn't buy it. I was gifted it because I was one of the contributors. But I would have never read it if I hadn't been one of the contributors. So that's a value, giving libertarians a platform that they can use to get their voices out there, I think encourages them to hear the voices of others.
Yeah. And actually, you know, I'm apolitical in every way. I don't care what part of the political area somebody exists in. If you have something to say about how to create more freedom, whether at the individual level or the community level or the national level or the world level, I don't care. As long as what you're saying can be actionably applied to create more liberty, more freedom in that environment. So I'm personally as purist anarchist as you can go. I think all government is an abuse of people, but we surrender certain rights when we have a government so that we're protected as a unified force. But just like our original constitution, the Articles of Confederation say is that the body of the people is the militia, the body of the people is the government, and we create this entity called government to manage affairs so that it makes it simpler and easier to, you know, do something that affects everybody simultaneously. But is government actually necessary? I believe absolutely not. Is government a good thing in the end? Absolutely not. But if I don't care if you're libertarian, I don't care if you're Democratic, I don't care if you're a Green Party, I don't care if you're Republican, I don't care what you are, if you have something that is an actionable item that we can use today to create more freedom, that's all I care about.
That is awesome. And that's libertyuncensored.news for those who want to check it out. Libertyuncensored.news. And you said look up Liberty Uncensored on Telegram. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining us today. And this was Chris Haig, the owner.
Corey.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was looking right at your name, too. Yep. Thank you so much, Corey. And I don't know where I got the Chris from. But anyway, I wanted to wrap up this segment by telling people about now. I've been watching people come in this whole show, and now little Zoe's has arrived. I saw them packing up off and on throughout the week. Ben of Goldbacks has arrived over here. So people have begun to arrive in real numbers now, like people that I've been waiting to see all year. So I can't wait to go out there and do that. You can come hang out with us because we are here for another week until the 25th. Check us out online in the meantime at freetalklive.com. That's freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both.
The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we're going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.